Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Tet Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara begins, Itmar, Lechi Omei Me'elav. If you have a Lechi that comes about by itself, that could be manifest in different ways, one of which is there's some sort of natural occurrence that creates the Lechi. For instance, there's a tree growing at the entrance to the Mavoi, and the tree happens to be right where you need the placement of the Lechi. So that's a possibility of a Lechi Omei Me'elav. You didn't place it there to be a Lechi, but it is in the position where you want a Lechi to be. The other possibility is that you have at the opening to the Mavoi, a wall that extends into the area that is the opening to the Mavoi, and that extension of the wall will be functioning if you had set it aside to be a Lechi, like a Lechi. But here you didn't necessarily designate it to be a Lechi, it's just the wall extends there. We saw this a little bit back on Daf Hey Amud Bet with regards to the length of that wall. If it's too wide, then already it's considered to be a part of the wall. But it's short enough, it can be classified as a Lechi. But over here, you didn't designate it necessarily as a Lechi, it just was there. Can you use such a Lechi? Abaye Amar Havi Lechi. Abaye says that's a fully functional Lechi and you can carry in such a Mavoi. Rav Amar Lo Havi Lechi. Rava disagrees and says it's not a Lechi. Now, Hechi Delo Samchin and Alei Me'etmol, if you did not, from the previous day, meaning prior to Shabbat, designate it to be a Lechi, Kuli Amar Lo Plige Delo Havi Lechi. Everybody agrees that it's not a Lechi, because you can't just have some sort of natural occurrence be a Lechi without designation or delineation that it is a Lechi. This might relate to what Tosafot says back on Daf Hey Amud Bet, and that is that there's a importance with regards to Lechi that there be a Heker. Part of the idea of a Lechi is that everybody understands that this is the end of the Mavoi, and there's something different between that which is done inside the Mavoi, which is permission to carry, and that which is not done outside of the Mavoi, which is into the Reshut HaRabim, where you can't carry. And we'll discuss this in more detail as we move through the Gemara. But because of that necessity for at least some sort of acknowledgement that it is a Lechi, it was not designated as a Lechi prior to Shabbat, it will not be a Lechi. And that means if there was an existing Lechi that fell down, and then this still is there, you can't make it into a Lechi on Shabbat, even according to Abaye. Kiplige, where they argue, is Eichad Samchina Le'Me'etmol. But you designated it. It's a self-grown or incidental Lechi that exists. So you didn't do anything to put it up, but you made the decision to make it into a Lechi. Over there, Abaye Amar Havi Lechi, Abaye says it works as a Lechi, that's something in a Lechi at all. Because you designated it on the previous day, and that's enough of a reason to make it into a Lechi, because you have given it a status, and that status then creates the Lechi or the Heker that we need over here. Rav Amar Lo Havi Lechi. Rav says it's not a Lechi. Came into me, Kara, Lavadate Dehachi Avide Lo Havi Lechi. Since it wasn't created particularly for that purpose, and since it wasn't made for that purpose, it doesn't have a status of Lechi. You need to make a Lechi in particular for the purpose of it being a Lechi. Now, Kal Saka Datcho, the Gemara says, we would assume, Ke'echidi Pligi B'Lechi, Pligi Nami Mechitza, just like Abaye and Rav argue here about a Lechi that is self-created, that happened to be there, and now you want to use it as a Lechi. They would also argue in the same vein with regards to Mechitza that was created by itself, or it pre-existed, is whether that's a good mechitza for Shabbat or not. So just like they argue here by Lechi, they're going to argue by mechitza. The fact that the Gemara says, Kasaka Datla, you would have thought that, means that the Gemara is speculating and the Gemara will reject it eventually, but it will bring a number of proofs with regards to mechitza. Tashma, Ose Sukato Ben Ha'ilanot, a person who makes his sukkah amongst the trees. Vilanot Dafanot La, and the trees act as a wall for the sukkah. Ksheira. That sukkah is kshira. Tosafot over here discusses some of the details from the Gemara in sukkah as to how you have a sukkah that is structurally sound, because the walls of the sukkah, at least according to Rav Bar Yaakov, can't move in the wind. And over here, if the trees are swaying in the wind, then maybe it would not be a kosher wall. So Tosafot gives two possibilities. Either one, that Abdilei Behutzim V'dafno, they use the trees and wove them together so that they don't move. Or another possibility is that we're discussing a case where the wall was made up not just of the branches of the trees, but maybe of the trunks of the trees, and those are not going to sway in the wind or move in the wind, and therefore you have a structurally sound wall here, and it would be a good wall for a sukkah. Now, obviously, the trees that are there are natural occurrences. They're not something that was made as a mechitza. They exist as a mechitza, and now you are utilizing them. You are leveraging them to be the wall of the sukkah. Mar says, Hakamai Skinan, what's going on over here? Shinatan mitchila lekach. He planted them with the intention of them being a mechitza. So then it wouldn't be a question on Rova, because here you have a mechitza me'eleha with trees that seems to be functional. My answer is, no, it was planted for that particular purpose. My says, yachi pshita. That's the case. What's the question? Of course it's going to be a wall then. Like we see by other instances by sukkah, that we don't allow you to put a sukkah into a tree because we're afraid you're going to use the tree on Shabbat, break off a branch on Shabbat, do something that's problematic. That's why a tree is problematic or muksa on Shabbat. So over here, where you made the wall of the sukkah from a tree, maybe over there we would not permit it, even though you planted it for that intent. Kamash Malan, that since it was planted for the intent of being used as the wall, it is considered to be a good wall, and we do not deny your ability to use it on Yom Tov or on Shabbat. Mar says, Tashma, Hayasham Ilan O Gader, if there was a tree there, or a fence, O Chitzata Kanim, or there were reeds that were lined up along the way in a formation that creates a mechitza, nidom mishum diyumad, that has the ability to be a diyumad. This is something that we're going to discuss in the next parak. I'll just give a quick background to the information that we need for the Gemara here, but we'll discuss it in much more detail as we begin the second parak. There's a picture of it in Rashi. We have bumped into it actually in the Gemara previously, and that is if you have a bor b'shut harabim, you have a cistern or a well in the b'shut harabim, the cistern or well is 10 tefachim deep, and at least 4 by 4, in that case it's a reshut yachid. The problem is for people who are traveling, like Ole Regalim, people passing by and they need the water from that cistern or that well, they can't draw the water on Shabbat because you're going to be moving it from reshut yachid into the reshut harabim. So the solution to that is create an area around that bor that makes it into a reshut yachid, special dispensations because of it being a public necessity. The Chachamim allowed the din to be like the din d'oraita and make it into a reshut yachid d'oraita. The way that you do that is that you create these dumads. Dumad comes from the word du or duo, meaning two. It is a perpendicular corner by which each one of the walls from that perpendicular corner extends an ama in each direction. And you have four of those, one in each corner, going an ama in each direction. So that you pay what's that picture that is in Rashi, the four corners there. The distance that's open between them is the machloka that we saw previously with regards to the width of the bakar, how many oxen that are pulling something that need to go in there, what's the size. That again we'll get to in this next parak, but it's a machloka tanaim as to how big the gap can be between them. And that makes it into reshut yachid. So now we're speaking about one of those corners. One of those corners can be made from an ilan, a tree that is at least can create a semblance of an ama in each direction. Or we'll see later on in the Masechta, if it's round, if it has enough to carve out of it a corner that would be an ama by an ama, or a fence that exists already, that's going to be one of those four corners that you need. Or you have these reeds that grew in one of the corners that's shaped like a right angle. Nidom mishum diumat. It works. So again, here you have a mechitza omedet me'aleha. You're talking about a tree. You're talking about reeds that grew, a fence that pre-exists, and you're just utilizing that as one of your four right angle corners. So, once again here, it's a situation in which they were originally planted for that purpose. Okay, so once again, what does you teach me? If you planted it for that purpose, of course it's a good mechitza because you created the mechitza. Comes to teach you that the reeds in this situation work. That is because the brayta is indicating that these reeds that are growing next to each other are sufficient to create a mechitza because they are less than 3 tfachim away from each other. And that creates a halacha on the Moshe Mi-Sinai of lavud, which means an area that's less than 3 tfachim is considered as if it doesn't exist, as if you have a solid wall between these reeds that are less than 3 tfachim apart. Just like we're going to see on Daf Yutet Amud Bet, Abaye asks Rabba, does a mechitzat kanim of reeds, which are less than 3 tfachim away from each other, does it work in this situation? And there the Gemara brings our braita and deals with whether the braita is a proof or not a proof to that. And that's what the Gemara is saying, that that's the Kamash Malan over here. Even if you planted them intentionally to be a mechitza, you still have to deal with the issue as to whether that is a good mechitza when they are less than 3 tfachim apart. And that's the question of Bayez from Rabbo. And that's what the braita is coming to teach you. Either yes or no, depending on what the deal is that you make out of the braita later on. But that is something that's significant that the braita teaches us, even if you were to plant them originally for that purpose. So once again, we had a challenge to Rabbo's position Rabban who says that by lechi, you need to have the lechi built particularly for that purpose and not have it happen by itself. So do we suggest that we'll extrapolate that to mechitza and say mechitza has to be made for that purpose and not just end up there. The Braita seems to indicate that items that are natural occurrences can be utilized for a diumad or for mechitza. And the answer again is that they were planted for the particular purpose of a mechitza. Tashma, another possible proof against this view of Rava, that a mechitza me'alea doesn't work. Ilana mesach alaretz. You have a tree that has a very wide birth. Its branches extend and then drop down towards the ground. If the end of the branches reached within 3 tfachim of the ground, then it creates a mechitza, and anything underneath the tree becomes a reshuta yachid, and you can carry underneath the tree. Hacha nami b'maya skinon. So Gemara over here suggests once again, shenatu mitzchila lekach. It's planted with the intention of creating this mechitza by the tree's branches extending out and then drooping down to the ground, by which they create a canopy over the area. And since they're within 3 tefachim in the ground, we say lavud, it's as if they're on the ground, and it's as if there are walls all around, or there's a beautiful hut that's created, or canopy created by these branches, that is a reshut yachid that you can carry in. So Gemara says, Hihochi, the taltel bekudo. Then why can't you carry anywhere under the tree? Alama, we have an indication or qualifier that says otherwise. Ma'amar Ravuna, braid the Rav Yeshua, ein metaltelin bo el beit sataim. You are capped out at a maximum of a beit sataim in order to carry under this tree. Now, as Rashi explains over here, and the Gemara is going to tell us many times throughout the Masechta, beit sataim is the area of the Chatzer HaMishkan. The Chatzer HaMishkan was 50 amot wide by 100 amot deep, 5,000 square amot. That's a beit sataim. That is considered to be a normal area in which a person will settle or do certain items. And so the Chachamim capped out the area that can be classified as a Reshut Yachid to Beit Sataim. That cap, or that maximum amount of space that can be surrounded to be utilized as a Reshut Yachid, is only if it was not Hukaf L'dira. If it wasn't particularly made for that purpose of living in that area. If it was Hukaf L'dira, it can be made any size and it would still be considered a reshut yachid. If there is, for whatever reason, a subpar form of mechitza that surrounds the area, that could be subpar because the mechitza itself, the structure of the mechitza is somehow subpar, even though it's halakhically okay, or it could be subpar because of what you want to utilize the area for. In any of those cases, the Chachamim capped it out at Beit Sataim. Our case over here, we're saying, according to Ravuna Breid, the Rav Yeshua, that you're capped out at Beit Sataim. So now, if you say the reason that you're capped out at Beit Sataim is because this is a mechitza ha'omeid me'eleha, it's a mechitza that grew by itself, and therefore it's a subpar mechitza because you didn't create it, it just happened to be there. And if that's the case, it would be capped out at Beit Sataim, and it's all understandable. So according to Abaye, this is easy to understand. According to Rava, who says that a mechitza made me'ala, at least according to the speculation of the Gemara now, is problematic, then how do you explain this phenomenon over here? You have a tree that creates a mechitza, and we say it's a good mechitza. My answer is no problem. You planted it in particular to create the mechitza. Well, if you planted it in particular to create the mechitza, there's nothing wrong with the mechitza anymore. It's no longer a subpar mechitza. If it's not a subpar mechitza, then there should be no cap of Beit Sataim. And that's what the Gemara is asking. Why is there a cap of Beit Sataim? You should be able to carry even more than 5,000 amot if the tree was huge and gave you a space that's greater. The Gemara's answer is, Mishum David Dira, Shetash Misha, Davir. There is a subpar element to this, not in the Mechitza itself, but there's a subpar element of the utilization of the space. And that is because the space is for its airspace and not because of the Mechitza themselves. Chol Dira, Shetash Misha, Davir. Anytime you have a mechitzot or an airspace that is surrounded, that is for the internal usage, it's capped out at Beit Sataim because again, it's a subpar area. And as Rashi says over here, that these areas are not made for a living space necessarily, and they're not made for the mechitzot themselves, but rather it is a hut for those people that are working out in the fields or guarding the fields. So they planted the tree in order to be shade or to help out with those workers that are out in the fields. Now that either could be because the primary purpose is the internal space, the shade underneath it, not the mechitzot, or as Rashi suggests over here, the subpar nature of this is the korchohu darsham. Nobody really wants to live there. They're only there because their job compels them to be there. If they had any choice or had their druthers, they would live in their own house. And that's why it's considered to be a subpar area. And so even according to Rova, if it's a subpar area, then we can talk about a cap of Beit Satayim. Tashma. So another possible proof that a mechitza made me'ela is a good mechitza. Shabbat betel shugva sarah. A person ended up coming into Shabbat and then got stuck. The sun set and they were stuck in a platform, a raised area that is more than 10 tefachim high. Oh, me'arbamo ad Beit Satayim. And that tell, that raised area that's 10 tefachim high, is at minimum 4x4 amot, until, or as wide as, Beit Satayim, which is 5,000 square amot, b'chein b'neka. And similarly, with a cleft in the rocks, or a crevice in the rocks, shu'amoka sara, that is 10 tefachim deep, b'umam amot, by Beit Satayim. And it is from a minimum of 4x4 amot, up to 5,000 square amot, in these situations. Or, in a situation, b'kama k'tzura, if you have a part of the field that was harvested out, like in the middle of the field, you cut out a harvested area of a circle, bishibolot mikifototo, and you still have standing grain around it, malechet kula, and that is at least 10 tefachim high, and again, a minimum of 4x4 amot, up to a Beit Satayim, up to 5,000 square amot. In that situation, malechet kula, bechutzala paimama. You walk the entire area, plus an additional 2,000 amot outside of it. Again, we're going to discuss this later in the Masechta, but this is relates to Erev Tchumin, which we mentioned briefly in the introduction to the Masechta. In Erev Tchumin, wherever you reside coming into Shabbat, you have a limited sphere of area that you're allowed to then utilize over Shabbat. Wherever you are, you get 4 amot around you, and then beyond those 4 amot, you get 2,000 amot in every direction. But there are exceptions to that. For instance, if you're living in your house. Your house is considered to be a singular area. And therefore, your house, you don't worry about just having 4 amot. The tchum only starts from outside of your house, even though your house is greater than 4 amot, because we deem it as if it is like 4 amot. And that's not only true of a house, it's true of an entire city. The entire city is considered to be one area for tchum Shabbat. Therefore, for you, your whole city is like your dalet amot. And since that's your dalet amot, your tchum Shabbat only begins from the outskirts of the city, or the edge of the city, outward in 2,000 amot. In this situation, we have a case where a person's not in a city, he's not at home, he's traveling, and all of a sudden he gets stuck, and the sun sets, and he's out in the fields somewhere when the sun sets. So then, in general, he'd be limited to arba amot, which is the minimum space granted an individual for his personal space. So he had a 4x4 amot, and then he'd get 2,000 amot beyond those 4 amot in every direction. That's why what we just quoted over here notes, it has to be a minimum of 4x4 amot. There's less than 4x4 amot. Doesn't help him at all because he gets 4x4 amot by definition because that's his personal space. So over here, what the Gemara is noting is if there are areas that naturally create a reshuta yachid, then a reshuta yachid is deemed to be one area or like an entire area that is 4x4 amot. So if you are on top of some sort of raised platform when Shabbat came in, and then you'll see, realize that the platform's raised over 10 tefachim high on every side, and it's bigger than 4 amot, that becomes your personal space on Shabbat. From 4x4 amot up to Beit Satayim, 5,000 square amot, that's your personal space. And then your 2,000 amot only start from the perimeter of the outskirts of this area. The same is true if it was a depression or a cleft or crevice in the rocks. And same is true if you have an area, a field that is harvested in the middle, and then the standing grain around it creates mechitzot that make it into reshut yachid. So for Tchumin, again, here you have Mechitzot being created that deem the area to be the area that's equivalent to 4x4 Amot. Again, it's limited up to a Beit Satayim because it wasn't Hukaf L'dira. It wasn't intentionally put up for a person to live there. And it just happened to be there when the sun set, when the individual was stuck there coming into Shabbat. And if you want to suggest over here, that again here, these were Mechitzot that were intentionally created. Bishlama kama l'chaye. When you're dealing with the standing grain and the harvested area, that you can claim, and maybe we could believe you, that it was done intentionally for that purpose, because he harvested the grain. It's a man-made situation. Elatel v'neka ma'ika l'meimar. You're talking about natural occurring areas, like a platform or raised area, or a crevice, those aren't things that were man-made. And even though you could have a man-made crevice or a man-made tell, the terminology tell and neka really are used to describe natural occurrences. If it was something made by man, it would be called a charitz if you had a depression. So the terminology we use here is indicating natural formations. Ella, we have to conclude, we have to now reject our suggestion before that we can extrapolate the machloket by lechi to mechitza. And the truth is, by mechitza, everybody agrees. Both Abaye and Rava agree that a mechitza that happens naturally or is naturally occurring is a good mechitza for Shabbat. And there is no machloket regard to that. Ki plige, their machloket is belechi. Abaye letame. Abaye is l'shitato. D'amar lechi mishum mechitza. Because a lechi is a din in mechitza. Again, we saw machloket earlier in the Masechta as to whether kora lechi, how do they function? Do they function as a heker, as an indication for the people to realize there's a distinction between the mavoi and the shut rabim, or do they function to create a mechitza on that fourth side? So Abaye believes that lechi works as a mechitza, or mechitza suyam elav y mechitza. And as we just already concluded on Shabbat, when you have a mechitza that's made naturally or happens by itself, that's a good mechitza. So lechi is no different than mechitza because lechi is a type of mechitza. The Rava l'tame, and Rava is l'shitato, damar, lechi mishum heker. Lechi is not a real mechitza. Lechi is there to catch your eye, your attention. It's to demarcate a distinction between the mavoi and the reshut rabim. And if it was man-made and intentionally made, havi heker, then it becomes something that is a heker. Below lo havi heker. And absent that, it's not considered to be a heker. The number of things to discuss here, first of which is that the Rabbeinu Hananu has a different girsa, and instead of saying that it's Abaye l'tamei and Rava l'tamei, he just has it, the girsa being Abaye says that lechi is mishum mechitza, and Rava says lechi mishum kora, so you don't have to go search for those positions beforehand, because they're actually giving you those positions now. The Baal Tosafot, based on our girsa, suggests that according to one lashon back on Daf Hey, this is the view of Abaye, that lechi is mishum mechitza. And on Daf Yudbet, Amudbet, Rava states his position that lechi and kora are mishum heker. And that's the source for their positions over here. Now, Rava makes it clear that if it's mishum heker, the only way it can be heker is if you actually functionally create something to be a heker. Otherwise, it's not going to be a lechi. On the other hand, Abaye suggests over here, if it's mishum mechitza, even if it's a self-occurring or natural item, it can still be classified as a mechitza, like any other mechitza by Shabbat, and the lechi will function that way. The Baal Tosafot back on Daf Hei Amud Bet qualify that idea and say, even according to the one, meaning Abaye, that says the lechi is mishum mechitza, mikol makom heker ketzat bayinan. You still need some form of heker over here, and that heker can be not just in the making of it, but the heker can be created in your designation of it. And that's what we saw earlier in the Gemara, that even according to Abaye, you can't make it into a lechi all of a sudden on Shabbat. You have to previously have designated the item as a lechi. So even though you didn't build it, or the tree was always here, once you designate it as a lechi, that creates a heker. And Tosafot says the reason is, because even though the item might have been there all along, when you designate it, it gets, creates a publicity or a certain amount of common knowledge that this is now being made into a lechi. And Tosafot even applies that to a wall that is continuing from another wall coming in that looks just like an extension of the wall. It doesn't look particularly like a lechi. Nevertheless, there is still a heker in the fact that you designate it as a lechi. So that's an important din that Tosafot mentions over there. Back on Daf Hey Amud Bet. And Tosafot does point out in the other direction, based on that Gemara back on Hey Amud Bet, that if you have a wall that is too long, meaning that it's Arba Amot long, then it isn't a lechi, even if you designate it as a lechi. Meaning that some things look so much like a wall, or function so much like a wall, that you can't designate them as a lechi, because people will not see that or will not acknowledge whatever designation you're giving to it because it looks too naturally as a part of the wool that is on that fourth side. So again, you need heker not only in the designation, but you need it to be that this is something unusual or something that wouldn't just be contemplated as being just a part of the wall, and that's something that is unique over there. So now the Gemara continues and says, Tashma, Avne Geder, Ayotzimina Geder, Muvdalot Zomizo. So they built a fence, and now there's a gapping in the fence, which can be a doorway or an opening in the fence. But when they ended the side, they didn't make it a straight mezuzah. They didn't make it a doorpost that was completely flat. When you lay bricks alternatively each level. You lay them offsetting against each other. You don't lay them one on top of the next because then they'll collapse and fall over. You have to put two bricks down and then you put one brick in the middle. And then you keep doing that alternating. But when you get to the end of the wall, you're going to end up with every other brick sticking out because there's a half brick that extends out. So you almost have like teeth that are at the end of the wall. And that's what's extending into this doorway. So that's what's being described here. And the question is, what's the space between each of these teeth that are sticking out of the protrusions out of the wall? How much distance is between them? And so that's what's being discussed here. If there's Avnei Geder Yotzot Min HaGader, Muvdalot Mizom Mizomi Pachot Mishlosha, they're less than three tvachim apart. You don't need another lechi because those items themselves will be a lechi. Because it's clear that they are not a natural part of the wall. They're an extension out of the wall. And if they're less than three tvachim apart, then they can create a 10 tvachim high area. And if that's the case, it can function as a lechi. Again, here, this is a naturally occurring part of the wall. And it wasn't put up particularly to be a lechi. And nevertheless, we're suggesting that it functions as a lechi, which is a proof to Abaye's position. If shlosha, if they're more three than three tvachim apart, tzarich lechi acher. Then you need another lechi to be matirei because you can't get 10 tvachim straight up because they're too far apart and you can't invoke a lavud to make it into a solid lechi 10 tvachim high. But it says, achanami, similar to what we said before, shibanan tchila lekach. When he built it, he left them there to be a lechi. But it says, yachi pshita. If you left them there to be a lechi, of course, they're good as a lechi. But it says, no, ma'u de tema, the meser binyono hu David no. No, what you would have thought, and this goes back to what Tosafot said before, is that you can't create a lechi here because this is too naturally a part of the wall. And that is when they build this way, they leave those teeth there because maybe in the future they'd want to seal up that opening. And the only way to seal up the opening is to continue the alternating brick laying that goes up. And so you leave them protruding, every other one protruding out so that you can continue the brick laying or the stone laying in the way that would be structurally sound. So if somebody might look at this and say, this can't be a lechi. The reason they left it there was so they could continue the wall. And so therefore, even if you designate it as a lechi, maybe it would not take on the shame lechi because it's just too much of a naturally looking part of what should be there anyway. So Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush here, that even though you made it for a lechi originally, which makes the pshita, it should be a good lechi, nevertheless, it still works as a lechi because we don't say that people are just going to assume that was part of the building process. They're going to say, this is a little unusual, and there is a heker to it. Tashma, the Tani Reb Chiya, Kotel Shetzido Echad Kanus Michaviro. So this is something that we just discussed back on Daf Tet, with regards to a wall at the end of a Mavoy, where the wall is a thick or wide wall, and then it narrows towards the end of the Mavoy. Now it can narrow in the sense that it stays flush on the inside, and the outside part is missing, it comes narrow on the outside. Or it could be vice versa. It could be flush on the outside and narrow on the inside. And this is what we saw in the bright of Rav Chiya before, which dealt with the issue of kotel, shetziru echad kanus michaviro, ben shinira b'chutz v'sheve b'fnim. Even if it's visible from the outside, the differential in the wall width, but inside it's flush and you can't tell, ben shinira b'fnim, or on the internal side you can see that the wall now is narrower, and v'sheve b'machutz, but outside it's flush, Nido Mishum Lechi. That extension can be classified as a Lechi. So once again here, you have what seems to be a wall that's already built, and we're able to create that extension that's narrower than the wall itself, and designate it or consider it as a Lechi. So if that's the case, it sounds again like Abaye, that a Lechi Omen Melech is good. But it says, Achanami Shaso Mitchila Lekach. It was built for that particular purpose to be a Lechi. Again, the Gemara says, Yachi Maikamashman. Why is that a Chiddush then? If it was built to be a lechi, of course it works as a lechi. Hakamash v'lan, nir v'chutz, v'shavim v'nim, nidom mishum lechi. This is why we brought the bright back on Daf Tet as well, was because we didn't know when it's flush on the inside and only visible on the outside the lechi, is that a good enough lechi? And that's the answer that Rabbi Chiya gives us, that it is, according to him, a good lechi, even though it's not visible on the internal side for the people internally, still visible for the people on the outside, and that's enough for it to be classified as a lechi. Tashma. The Rav Abba Yotiv Bahav Mivoah. Rav was sitting in a mavui on Shabbat. Yotiv Ravuna Kamei. Ravuna was sitting in front of him, learning with him. Amalei L'Shamei, Rav said to his servant, or to his shamish, Zilaitili Kuzudamaya, please get me a pitcher of water. Ad Ato Nofel Lechya. In the interim, the lechi for that mavui collapsed or fell down, the one that was placed there intentionally for Shabbat. He signaled to his shamash, to his shamei, to not come anymore because you can't carry in this mavoi. And he stopped right away and he didn't bring the water to him. Ravuna says to him, wait a minute, there's a tree at the entranceway to the mavoi, and that could be the lechi. So Amar, dummy, hi, mi Ravuna, commandalo parshe in she shmaito. He says, this Rabbanan is like someone who doesn't understand how to explain the learning, or in other places means it's someone who doesn't understand how to learn, or this is someone as if he has never learned, meaning he's an Amoritz. Obviously, it's a strong expression of dismissal of what Rav Huna is saying. He's not claiming that he's an Amoritz, but saying that the question is not a valid question. Misam chinen alei, mi etmol? Do we make the tree or the deck of the palm tree into a lechi previously? We saw before in the machlok between Abai and Rova that everybody agrees that if on the previous day you did not designate as a lechi, it doesn't work. And over here, they had a lechi there before, so they were relying on that lechi. When it falls on Shabbat, you can't now all of a sudden say, oh, the dekel is the lechi now, because now you're trying to do that on Shabbat, not from yesterday. Now the Gemara is midayek out of Rova's statement. Time of the losam chinan. That's only because they did not rely on it from the day before. Hasam Chinan, according to Rav, had they designated that tree to be the lechi on the day before, Havalechi would have been a good lechi. And that sounds like Rav is paskening like Abaye. So Gemara says, stop. So Lema, let us say Abaye Barava, Zolo Samchina Le Plige. That Rabbi and Rav argue, not in the case where you designated the day before, but in the case where you didn't designate it the day before. Hasam Chinan Le, Havalechi. And then, if you rely on it, it would be a lechi, which means that Rav agrees that if you designate it on the previous day, it would be a good lechi, just like Abaye says. If you don't designate it, then Abaye would say that it is a good lechi, and Rav would say it's not a good lechi. And now Rav comes along and says on Shabbat, well, now that it fell down and you're trying to make it into a lechi on Shabbat, that's no good, implying that had you done it before Shabbat, it would be good. Then that would be exactly like Rav. The reason to do that is when we generally have a machlok between Abaye and Rav, halacha k'Rav. And so now you would have Rav passing like Rav, and that would be appealing. You can't say it that way, because there was this, whether it's a canopy, a second floor, a porch with a roof over it, that had pillars that held up that area. And those pillars just happened to be placed at the entranceway to a mavoi. So again, they were items that were there. They had nothing to do with the mavoi. They were built for another purpose. And have a pligi ba by rabbi kulishanayu. And their entire lives, Abai and Rava argued as to whether this was a good mavui or not. Now, if it was one Shabbat, you could say they were arguing about whether when on Shabbat something else fell apart, and you want to rely on it, that you could use it. But if they're arguing about it for their entire lives, that means that even when people knew about it from Shabbat to Shabbat, and they designated it as a lechi, Rava said it doesn't work, and Abai said it does work. And therefore, that's like our original assumption, that everyone agrees that if you did not designate it beforehand, it's not a good lechi. And the argument is about, when you did designate it beforehand, does it work? Rava says no. Abaye says yes. Now, that means that Rav is paskening like Abaye. Well, that's interesting, because isn't the halacha like Rava? There are six exceptions in Shas where we pasken like Abaye, not like Rava. And those are Yal Kagam. That's the acronym for the six instances where we pasken like Abaye, not like Rava. And the Lamed in Yal Kagam is Lechi Al Meid Me'aleha. And so this is one of the instances where we do paskin like Abaye. Although, if you go back to Tosafot on the top of Hey Amud Bet, Tosafot says that, according to most, the halacha is like Abaye. But even according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Posok Rava, who thinks the halacha is like Rava, So Rabbi Tam thinks that this isn't one of the instances when we pass in like Abayi, and Halacha is like Rava, and then for Tosfos had to reconcile the Gemara back on Daf Hayamud Bet, even according to the Rabbeinu Tam, because there it sounds like Alechi Almeid Me'alel works, and Halacha is like Abayi. Gemara answers that the Gemara there is the Shita of Rav Huna, and Abayi is following that Shita of Rav Huna. Therefore, the whole Gemara is following Rav Huna, and therefore does it make sense that we're saying like Abayi, not because we paskin like him, but because it's deriving from Rav Huna. Nevertheless, most poskim in the way that we paskin is Alechi Almeid Me'alel is a good lechi, based on the fact that this is one of the exceptions to the machloket Abayi and Rava, the halacha is like Abayi over here. And obviously, since Rava agrees, we also believe that a mechitza omeid me'elah is also a good mechitza on Shabbat. Right now, we continue with the next Mishnah. It says, b'chol osim lechayin, afil b'dover sheish bo ruach chayim. The lechi can be made out of any material. There's no particular material it has to be made of. It can even be made out of a live item, meaning that you could tie up an animal, put it by the entranceway to the Mavoi, and that could be a lechi. Even a living being could be the lechi. Rabbi Meir Oser. Rabbi Meir, or in the Mishnah, Mishnayot, it's Rabbi Yossi Oser, says that it doesn't work. You can't use something that's alive. Umitamei mishum golel. A live animal can be used as a golel, and even though animals, when they're alive, generally are not mikabel tuma, over here, because they were used as a golel, they take on the din of tumata mate, and they are Tameh. Rabbi Meir, Mitaher, because they believe that you can't use it as a golel. Bikotvin alav gidei nashim, you can also write a get on an animal and hand the animal to the woman to be a bill of divorce. Rabbi Yossi Aglili posel. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, you can't do that. And that's what the Gemara will discuss. What is the view of Rabbi Yossi Aglili? So the Gemara begins, Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol davar sheyesh bo ruach chayim, eino osim ato lo dofen lesukah, velo lechi lemavoi, velo pasin lebiraot, velo golel lekever. You can't use something that's alive for any of these items. Can't use it for a wall of a sukkah. Can't use it for a lechi, for a mavoi, which is what we're discussing over here. You can't use it for pasim biriot, which is pasay biriot, which we discussed in the first amud. Are these boards to create the area around a boar that will make it to a shuti achid to draw the water out of it? Lo golel a kever, and you can't use it as a golel for a kever. The reason for this is, the Gemara itself is not going to address this. The Gemara in other places discusses why Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yossi dissents in this case. That is because they believe either because maybe the animal or the being that is there will die. If they die, they might then reduce their size or shrivel up and therefore not be functional as being a mechitza, lechi, or wall. Or because the whole thing that's keeping this item in place is air, which is ruach chaim. The life force is what keeps them there. When the life force leaves, everything collapses or disappears. And so since it's being held up by quote-unquote air, it's not really a physical item that's there. It's an intangible rather than a tangible item. And given that, it can't function as a lechi mechitza or dofen or as a wall. Now, with regards to a golel of a kever, Rashi over here, the Shitoto, says that the golel of the kever is basically the cover. Shenotnim da falamet. It is the quote-unquote cover to the coffin. It could be in a matzeva. It's made of stone. It's the cover, the top stone that is laid on top of the upright stones, the dofaker, the upright stones. And the top stone that's flat on top is called the golel. And Rashi says that it's tamei because of the riboy from the Gemara in Chulin that says, shkol ha-she'igal p'nei ha-sadeh, or about golel v'dofek. Anything that comes contact into the mate, even on the face of the field, that comes to include the golel and dofek. So that's Rashi's view as to why it's tamei. Rabbi Meir says it does not qualify to be a golel, and since it can't be a golel, it doesn't have a din of tumah. Because if it can't be a golel, it can't become tamei. And therefore, it's not tamei. That's Rashi's view. Tosafot, in numerous places in Shas, disagrees with Rashi's view of what a golel and dofek are. They bring proofs from the Gemara in Brachot as to the fact that it just can't be that we're talking about the matzeva, the coffin, that is considered the golel and dofek. But rather, they say that it is the heavy stone that is put on top of the coffin to hold it in place or to keep it shut. And that's what we're speaking about. The Rabbeinu Tam has some varied version of that. And as I've mentioned many times before, that in Yerushalayim and many places in Eretz Yisrael, where they buried people in the caves, in these catacombs, then they had to shut them after they buried people inside. So if you go in Yerushalayim, you can see this in some of the parks in Yerushalayim and other places in Eretz Yisrael, that this huge stone, which was a wheel, that they used to wheel away from the opening to the cave to bury people in there. And then they closed it afterwards by rolling the stone back. It was a very, very heavy stone to prevent animals from getting in there, and maybe even from human beings getting in there to rob or steal from those areas. And they used this big, heavy, round stone that would take a lot of people to move. The only problem is that when you wheel it in place, how do you stop it from moving? So that's what you have the dofek. The dofek is a wedge that you put in there to stop the wheel from rolling. Similar to what trucks do when they want to either unload or load things or put themselves in a hill where they don't want to slip, they stick these wedges below the wheels to prevent them from rolling. So similar over here, you have a wedge that's placed in there, and that could be the dofek and the golel. That's my personal view probably of what the golel and dofek are being described over here. But nevertheless, Rabbi Meir says that you can't use it as a golel and therefore would not be tamei. And again, we mentioned why it would be that way, even though the Gemara is not going to discuss it here. The Gemara moves on to the latter part of the Braita and the latter part of the Mishnah, which is Mishum Rabbi Yosef Leomer, Avin Kod Bein Alav Gitei Nashim. You're not allowed to write a get on a live animal. My time with the Rabbi Yosef Aglili. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yosef Aglili's position? Titania, you have a Braita. Sefer, the Pasuk says in Parshat Ki Tetzei, the cut of La Sefer Kritut. You have to write the woman a bill of divorce in order to divorce her. And he uses the term sefer. Sefer is as defined in the Navi Yirmiyahu. A sefer is cloth or something that you write with ink on. And therefore, I would have thought when it says sefer kritut, in leila sefer, I would think you would have to actually use cloth or something that can be written on. Minayin the rabot kol davar. How do I know you conclude other things to be the writing surface for that which is used for the get? Tamalomar, the katavla, mikol makom. The katavla, you can write for her, mikol makom, on whatever object or item or surface that you want to write it on. So now, Tosafot claims over here that this can't be just the katavla. Katavla is a klal, which says you can write on anything. Sefer is a prat. If only had those two items, then you would say, ein baklal, ala mashe baprat. The prat, the detail item afterwards, limits the scope of the general statement before us. It says, cut of law, general statement. Sefer would then limit it. It only could be if it's a klal uprat uchlal, and that's what Tosafot claims over here, that even though the Gemara didn't say that, it's just shorthanding it, and there really is a klal uprat uchlal, and that is afterwards, it says, cut of law, sefer, and then the klal afterwards is, benatan biyada, and you place it into her hand, which is a klal. So, klal uprat uchlal. Now, you have something can be anything that is similar to a sefer would work. So Gemara says, im kein matamalomar sefer. If that's the case, then what's the limitation of sefer? If you're including everything, what does sefer in the klal prat uchlal now come to exclude? Lomar lacha, ma sefer davar she'en bo ruach chaim v'eino ochel. Just like a klaf is something that's not alive and not something that eats. Al kal davar she'en bo ruach chaim v'eino ochel. Also, anything that you write the get on, the surface that the get's written on, can't be something that's alive and can't be something that eats. As the Baalei Tosafot point out over here, these definitions of what a sefer is and what it excludes are really up to the Chachamim, what the Chachamim saw fit to be the most common denominator to include all items that are similar and to exclude whatever item they thought was not similar, and that's what Yosef Lili is defining over here. It says, Rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan say about this? Because the Rabbanan believe that you can write it on a live animal. Miktiv basefer. The pasuk doesn't say the cut of la kritut basefer. They should write for her a kritut, meaning this bill of divorce, basefer, on or in a sefer. Sefer ktiv. The sefer is not necessarily the surface upon which the get is written, but rather it is the sfirut varim ba'almohu da'ata. It's going to tell you what has to be included in the get. Bekatavla, sefer kritut. It's describing what is in the get, not describing upon what the get is written. Sefer kritut means sipur dvarim shel kritut. Rabbanan v'hai v'katavla maydar shibe. But the chachamim, what do they do with the katavla? If you can write on any surface, Rashi says that since sefer doesn't mean klaf, that means that there's no defined surface upon which it has to be written, which means that you can write it on anything, then why do you have to tell me v'katav that you have to write it? Just write v'natan la sefer kritut. Give her a sefer kritut, and you would have known it has to be written because there's no defined surface, but of course, you have to write it on something, and therefore, why do I need the katavla? Whereas according to other Rishonim, like the Ritva, why do you have to tell me that you have to write a get? By definition, if you have to give her a Sipur Tvarim can't exist without you actually penning it or writing it. So Gemara says, help me by lay, b'chtiva mitgareshet v'ene mitgareshet b'kesef. Chamim can tell you that you can get divorced through a bill of divorce by get, but you can't get divorced by handing her money. Well, why would you have thought you could get divorced through handing money? Is because Sagadat Chamin, you would have thought, Hobit Kishitziyala Habaya, in Parshat Ki Teitse, it says that, V'yatzav Aitali Ishacher, that after the divorce, the woman can leave the man that she's married to, and then marry someone else. So in the same context, we have Yitziyah, where she leaves her previous husband, and then Vaitali Ishacher, where she marries an additional husband. Mahavaya b'kesef, just like you can marry through kesef, that's learned in the Gemara in the beginning of Kiddushim, from a kicha, grazer shava, from Avram's purchase of the Marata Machpelah from Ephron, to the kicha that's written by Kiddushin, to teach you that kesef is one of the vehicles for creating Kiddushin. So just like the havaya that's mentioned in the pasuk can be generated through kesef, of Yitziyah b'kesef, I would have thought you could also generate a divorce through kesef. Kamash Malan, that's not the case. The only way to generate a divorce is through a bill of divorce, and that's why it says v'katav la. But Rabbi Yosef Lili, I svar aminole. How does Rabbi Yosef Lili know that you can only get divorced through a bill of divorce and not through money? Nafkalei mi sefer kritu, sefer korta, vein davar acher korta. He learns it out from the fact that it says sefer kritu. So sefer kritu tells you that you only through something that is a sefer kritut, a bill of divorce, can you get married, but nothing else. Rabbanan, vai sefer kritut. The Rabbanan, what do they do with sefer kritut? Hai sefer kritut, mi baile le davar koreit, beino le veina. Sefer kritut, the word kritut, comes to teach you the definition of what a get is. A get is only something that severs completely the relationship between the husband and the wife. Look at Itanya, like we have in a braita. This is your bill of divorce, but the only condition is that you don't drink wine for the rest of your life. Or on condition that you won't go back to your father's house. Forever. That's not considered to be a severing of the relationship, because this woman is permanently tethered to this guy. Because if she ever goes back to her father's house, or she ever drinks wine, then that would terminate the divorce. And this man, and in some senses, has an attachment or a string still attached to this woman, and he hasn't released her completely. And therefore, it does not function as a get, and it fails. It's not a good bill of divorce. But if he says to her, he limits the scope of the tnai, koshloshim yom, for the next 30 days, you won't drink wine, or the next 30 days, you won't go back to your father's house, or zekridot. That is a severing of the relationship because it's a tnai or a condition that terminates. And since it terminates, there's a point in time where there will be a severing of their relationship. Now, the truth is that he could set a time period that is very long, maybe even longer than the normal lifespan of the individual. But since it has a termination date that is considered to be a kritut or some sort of severing of their relationship, rather than something that's indefinite in its length, and something that's indefinite then leaves a woman tethered to this individual, and that's not considered to be a sefer kritut. So even though maybe technically she might be tethered, but halachically she's not tethered if there is an expiration to this. Again, this is discussed more in depth in the Gemara and Gittin and the Rishonim as to exactly how this works. Rabbi Yosef Lili, how does Rabbi Yosef Lili know that you can't leave some sort of relationship between them or condition between them and not sever the relationship completely in order for it to be a good bill of divorce? Nafklemi karet kritut. It could have said sefer karet. Instead, it wrote sefer kritut. And so that teaches you two things. One is that only a sefer works to be korta, to divide or to divorce them, not money. And it teaches you that it has to be something that completely severs their relationship. Rabbanan karet kritut lo darshe. And the Rabbanan don't believe that karet kritut is something that you would darshin or meaningful, and therefore they don't have that extra drasha. Couple of little points to make over here that the Baal Tosafot point out, that the Gemara in other places says the cut of law means lishma. When you write a get, it has to be for the particular man and woman who are getting divorced. It has to be done lishma, which is the whole beginning of Masechet Gittin discusses that issue of lishma. So how come the Gemara over here is using the cut of law to teach you other things? The Tosafot says the word cut of law found twice in the Parshia, once to teach you about lishma, and once to teach you about what we're learning over here. Either that you can write it on any surface, or to teach you that through Ktiva, she is divorced, and not through Kesef, according to the Rabbanan. In addition, Tosfot points out over here, Amanat Shlo Telka de Beit Avich, maybe that does have a termination date to it, because when her father passes away, it's no longer her father's house, and she can go back there. So Tosfot makes a suggestion, Beit Avich doesn't simply mean her father's house, it means her family. And Beit Avich has a broader meaning than simply just the particular words that say father's house. It means going back to her family, and that is something that does not terminate, and that's why it's problematic here in terms of keeping a tether on the woman and not creating a divorce that completely severs their relationship. So the next Mishnah says, Shayara shechanta bibika. If you had a caravan that stopped on the way when they were traveling in some sort of valley, some sort of area where they're going to be for Shabbat, and then they put around their utensils all around their encampment to create a mechitza that is around them. That mechitza is fine. Metatalim betocha, and it's a reshuti yachid that you can carry in. Ubilvad, on the one condition, shei geder gvoa asarat tfachim, that the items that you're putting there that are surrounding are at least 10 tfachim high. Below yeh pirtzot, yuterot al binyan. And the second condition is that you can't have more open space than closed space. Meaning that you have to have more omeid ala parutz. You have to have more standing mechitza than open mechitza. Kol pirtza shik eser amot muteret. Any opening that is 10 or less amot is considered to be a doorway, and that's fine. It doesn't passel the mechitza. Bipnei shik petach, because it's a doorway. Yeter mikan, if it's more than 10 amot, then it does disqualify the mechitza, because then you have a break in the mechitza. Now, even though you have less than 10 amot is considered to be a petach, if you have just a bunch of tachim there, then you have what's called parutz yoter al omid. Then you have open space that is more than the closed space, and it will not count it as a mechitza. So you can count the eser amot or less as doorways, with the condition that there's still more standing mechitza than doorways that exist. And that's how you could functionally create a mechitza. There might be an exception when you have a tzurat ha-petach. If there's a tzurat ha-petach, then a tzurat ha-petach might create not only a petach, but also might make it into as if it is a closed area, closed mechitza. And that turns out to be a machlok between many of the Rishonim and the Rambam. Many Rishonim believe that Surat HaPetach helps you for more than 10 amot, and also it creates something not just a petach, but it is like a mechitza. And therefore, it's the equivalent of Omeid Izyotera Ala Parutz. Even though it's not, we consider it as if it is, or that din is not applicable over there. And that's how the modern day Eruv is created, by having many Tzurot HaPetach that create the Eruv. The other hand, the Rambam believes that even when you use the Tzurot HaPetach, you still need Omeid Merubel HaParutz. And even though that seems to go against the Gemara, there's a very important Rav Chaim Mibris that explains that Rambam, that a Petach that doesn't have a Tzurot HaPetach is considered to be open space. It's not classified as a Mechitza at all. A Tzurot HaPetach is not considered to be open space, but it's also not considered to be a mechitza when you need active mechitza there. That means that if you were looking at the open space that's there, it's not classified as open space. But if you need something to be omeid, more standing mechitza than open space, it can't count as standing space. So it's not a detractor, but it also can't function as being something that is there. And therefore, in a sense, it's as if it doesn't exist, or it's considered parutz. And based on that, he says that the Rambam believes that even if you use the Tzurat HaPetach, you still need Omeid ala parutz. And that's what's called an Eruv l'chumra, or the briskers that are choshesh for the shita of the Rambam, who believe that an Eruv is only a good Eruv, or mechitza is only a good Eruv, when it's Omeid merube ala parutz. And they will only carry if that is the situation. So that's true for many of the Svardim, many of the briskers, and many people who try to have an Eruv l'chumra. You'll see in cities or areas, they will create subsections of the city where you'll have these Eruvs that the Omeid is Merube ala Parutz, in order to make it a much stronger, more kosher Eruv. Itmar, Gemara wants to know, Parutz Komeid. The Mishnah only addressed the case where there's a difference between how much standing mechitza and open space you have. What happens if they're exactly equal? But Papa Amar Mutar. But Papa says that's no problem. But Bona Bredi Reb Shua Amar Asur, it's problematic. But Papa Amar Mutar, but Papa says it's fine. Hachi Agmei Rachmana LeMoshe. This is the Locha LeMoshe Misinai. As we saw earlier in the Masechta, as Rashi pointed out back on Dav Dalet, that Mechitzot V'Hilchotehem are Locha LeMoshe Misinai. There are many Rishonim that believe that it's just used Derech Melitz over here, and this is only a din de Rabbonon, not a din de Oraita. But, at least the way Rashi is reading and the way the Gemara sounds, that this is a din de Oraita, it says, Lo Tifrotz Ruba. The halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim was, don't have more pirtzot, openings, than standing space. Well, if you don't have more openings than standing space, then you're okay. Well, that would mean if it was equal, it would be fine. But as Rav Huna Bredi Yeshua Amar, Asur, it's problematic. Hachi Agamei Rachman Le Moshe. This is the way that the din was conveyed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Gadur Ruba. Make sure that the majority has a geder or has a closed area on it. Which would imply if it was less than the majority or equal, it would be problematic. Tanan, our Mishnah seems to favor the position of a papa. It says in our Mishnah that it can't be that you have more open space than built up or solid space. Ha, you would infer from that, kibinyan, if it was equal, mutar, it'd be totally fine. Mar says, lo teima, ha kibinyan mutar. Don't make that deal that if it was equal, it'd be mutar, but rather, elo eima, im binyan yeter ala pirtza. If it was more binyan than pirtza, then it would be mutar. Mar says, aval, if that's the case, kibinyan mai, if it was equal, what would be the din asur? Yochi, then the Mishnah should have read, litne lo ye pirtzot kibinyan. Instead of saying it shouldn't be more pirtzah, I should have said, don't have the pirtzah be equal to the binyan, because that's also asur. Kasha, that's a very big difficulty for the position of Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua. It's not considered to be a tiyufta, because Rav Huna could just make the claim, Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua could make the claim that the Bala Mishnah wasn't so medaktik in his lashon, and that's really what he meant to say. And it is a very difficult answer, but it's the only way that we can reconcile at least Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua's position, despite what it says in the Mishnah, and that's why the Locha seems to be like Rav Papa, that it is Mutar. Tosafot over here already raises the issue that if you say Parutzka Omeid, that means Mekan Mashma, Deshul Etzamtzein. So from here it sounds like you can do something exactly, or things can be exact. And this is a machloket in the Gemara, in Bechorot, and other places, as to whether Efshal Etzamtzein or Efshal Etzamtzein. And how come the Gemara doesn't bring this as a proof to those Gemaras in Chulin and in Bechorot? Because here it sounds like you are Efshal Etzamtzein. So Tosafot discusses it somewhat here, and Tosafot back on Hey Amud Bet, at the bottom of the Amud there, says that there's a distinction between Efshal Etzamtzein Bidei Adam in human creations. It is possible that they come out exactly equal, whether that's intentional or maybe even unintentional, it can happen that way. But in naturally occurring events, that's where the Gemara has the machloket in Bechorot and in Chulin with whether Efshal Etzamtzein or Efshal Etzamtzein can two babies be born at the exact same time. Over there, we might say that Bidei Shamayim, it's Efshal Etzamtzein, but Bidei Adam, it is Efshal Etzamtzein. And similarly over here, you would have to say that that's what Tosavot is meaning, that parts called made is because you put up the mechitza, and putting up the mechitza, that's Bidei Adam, and saying that it is Efshar, the Tzamtzein Bidei Adam, even though Bidei Shemayim, it's not that way. And that will be also continued in the discussion of the continuation of the Gemara. So Tashma, the Gemara continues now its questioning of Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua's position that when you have Parutzka Omeid, when they are equal, that it is considered to be a sur, not a proper mechitza. And here it brings a Mishnah from Sukkah. It says a mikare sukato b'shipudim, someone who puts as a roof on his sukkah, meaning being schach with shipudim, which are bars of metal, which are psulim for schach because they are mikabel tuma, o barukota mita, or he uses the boards that create the frame of a bed. Now those boards are psulim midrabanan, to be used as schach by sukkah because they come from kelim. They're leftovers from kelim. So both of those are forms of schach pasul, and therefore they would be problematic in terms of using them for the schach on the sukkah. Im yesh revach b'nehem, if there is spacing between this schach pasul kimotan, that is equal to the amount of schach pasul, and in that empty space you put schach kasher, then ksherat, the sukkah is a kasher sukkah. So this seems to go against Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua. Over here you have exactly equal schach pasul and schach kasher, and the Mishnah in sukkah says that it is ksherat. So you see, when you have a situation that's 50-50, we learned lean towards the side of saying that it's kasher and not pasul. The problem with this Gemara is that what does this have to do with the argument between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua? Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua are arguing in issues of mechitza, whether omeid when it's equal to parutz, what is the standing in that situation? Over here by the sukkah, we're not speaking about a mechitza. We're speaking about schach. So the Ritva makes suggestions that either the question at hand is when you have options of something that is kasher and pasul based on what is the majority, the more generic question of the Gemara is what is the status of that in a 50-50 situation. And the Gemara in our context just brought the question with regards to mechitzot, which is parus komeid, what is the din? But that's not the basic question of the Gemara. The question of the Gemara is much broader, which is that when you have anything that's 50-50, does it lean to the side of kasher or the side of pasul, the side of mechitza, the side of imechitza? And so the question is really the same question. Or you can say that both of these are halachot that were brought from Moshe Mitzrayim. In the case of mechitza, the question as to whether it was formulated that the majority needs to be a mechitza or that the majority may not be parutz in order for it to be kasher. And the same could be true in terms of the formulation of the halacha by Sukkah. Do you need the majority to be schach kasher, or do you need it to be that the majority is not schach pasul? So it's the same type of formulation question as to how the halacha is structured when you're dealing with different entities, one of which is pasul and one of which is kasher. And for that reason, the Ritva says, the Gemara brings this as a question over here. So the Gemara answers, halacha b'mayaskinan, over here, what's the situation? Kishenichnas v'yotzei, that the space between the schach pasul and the schach kasher is not exactly equal. There's enough area between the schach pasul that you can fit in the schach kasher easily, putting it in and out and be able to take it in and out, which really means that there is more space than 50%, and therefore the schach kasher exceeds the schach pasul in this case. Gemara says, v'ha efshar letamtzem. Why do you have to say that? We have the capacity to do things exactly. So this goes back to what we saw in the Tosafot, that by human creations, you can do things to an exactitude, and you can be mitzamtzem. So why are you suggesting that the Mishnah in Sukkah was not exact, and saying when it says kimotan, the same amount, it means literally the same amount? Why are you saying that it means, no, there's a little bit left over, and there's more schach kasher than schach pasul? Because it is possible to do it exactly equal. So Amar Rabbi Ami b'ma'adif. It's a situation in which he did leave over more. It just, that is the circumstance that we're speaking about. Rashi claims that the Havamina was that the reason that there was more kosher schach than pasul schach is because it's impossible to be mitzamtzem. To that, the Gemara says, efshar letamtzem. It is possible to be exact. And therefore, you don't have to forcibly say that there was more of one or the other. And then the Gemara answer is b'madif. The situation, the circumstances, the case where they did leave over more space, and therefore the schach kasher exceeds the schach pasul in order to protect this position of Ravuna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua. And Rav Amar, Rav offers another alternative, which is, if they were placed width-wise, meaning that the schach pasu was width-wise, then not no sheti, but the kosher schach lengthwise. Shti, if he has the schach pasu that is put lengthwise, not no erev, then he places the schach kosher width-wise. The reason for that is, first of all, you can be certain now that the schach kosher covers the entire space that's between the schach kosher and the schach pasu because it's running perpendicular to the schach pasul, and therefore you have to lean it on the schach pasul. And that means for sure the schach kasher is covering the entire space that's between them. In addition, as Rashi says over here, since he does this, the schach kasher clearly exceeds the schach pasul. Not only is it equal in the spacing between them, but the schach kasher that rests on the schach pasul then makes it that it is a majority. And once it is a majority, it's mevatel the schach pasul, and therefore through the bitul of the schach pasul, the schach kasher in essence becomes the majority, even though a portion of the schach kasher is resting on the schach pasul, and the open space that it's covering is only equal to the schach pasul. Nevertheless, since it's resting on the schach pasul, and that means by definition it's more then the schach pasul, it overwhelms it, and therefore you're mevatel, or there's a bitul, a nullification of the schach pasul, and that's why it's not a case of 50-50. It is 50-50 in terms of the airspace covered by the schach kasher versus the schach pasul, but in terms of the quantity of schach kasher versus schach pasul, it is a majority of schach kasher, and that's why in that case it is kasher, and it therefore would not be undermining the position of Huna B'Rei Rav Yehoshua. That is Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. As Tosafot points out, it's very difficult. It says, Ein zeh sugyat hashas. This is not the way a Gemara works. The Gemara says, oh, it's a case that nichnas v'yotze. There's more space for the kasher than the pasul. The Gemara says, efshar letamtzem. Well, you can make it exact. And the Gemara answers again, No, there's more space. What type of answer is that to the question that was posed? You're just going back to the original statement. Therefore, the Baalei Tosafot favor heavily the Girsa of the Rabbeinu Hananel over here, which is not that Efshar L'Tzamtzem, but rather E Efshar L'Tzamtzem. It's impossible to be exact. You're telling me that it's Nichnas V'Yotze, and therefore, it's a situation in which there is more schach kasher than schach pasul. And the Gemara says, how can you be so exact? Efshar L'Tzamtzem. It's impossible to be so exact with regards to this amount. And therefore, now it's a question both on Rav Papa, how do you get it to be exactly 50-50? Or according to Rav Huna ben Yeshua, how do you make it that it's a situation in which it's more than 50%? So the question's on both parties, not related to how we answered for Rav Huna ben Yeshua, but on the whole case in general. How do you get it to be exactly the way you need it? And the answer is, either according to Rabbi Ami Bema Adif, he puts on excess schach kasher, and by doing that, he's certain that it filled in all of the open area, and he's certain then that the schach kasher is either, according to Rav Papa, equal to the schach pasul, or according to Rav Huna ben Yeshua, it exceeds the schach pasul. And the definition of uke motan is, like we said before, nichnas v'yotzei, the same amount as the schach pasul, but it's the same amount with the ability to easily put in the schach kasher and take it out, which means that there's really excess space between the schach pasul that will be filled by schach kasher. Arova says, even in a case where you didn't do that, you didn't make sure that it was clearly a majority, you did it in a case where it was running perpendicular, and therefore by running it perpendicular, you're certain that there is a majority of schach kasher versus schach pasul. Okay, we're going to stop here, two lines from the bottom, by the Tashma.